Today's Mishnah in Masechet Mikvaot, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Beit, Mishnah Chet. So yesterday, we discussed the situation of Mayim She'uvim, where there had been no desire on your part, at least no open desire, where you had left some containers on the roof. Your intent was that they should dry out, and there was a thunderstorm, and they get filled with water. And then the question is, do they have a halacha of mayim she'uvim or not? So over there we found the machlokas between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer about whether a couple of issues that were there. One is whether they have any din of mayim she'uvim in the sense that will be machmer aliba de Rabbi Eliezer, that you cannot have a revius up front. So even though they're not literally mayim shuvim, but a revius of them will pass on the mikvah. And therefore, there needed to be, according to him, water in the mikvah in order for it to become kosher. And furthermore, he held that you need to have a rove of mayim that was not shuvim, and therefore it would only work if it was during the Mos HaGishami. Rabbi Yoshua, on the other hand, he tainas that since there was no kavana at all for it to be mayim she'uvim, first of all, they are usable water even to fill the entire mikvah, and there's no hakpada, I mean, there never is, according to him, on not having a revius there up front. And one additional point that was important is that according to Rebbe Eliezer, if you even would turn with your hand, you would push these containers over and the water would go into the mikvah, it would be puzzle. And there were two ways of understanding that. Remember, we had the machlokas between the Rashi's approach and the Russian's approach about whether we need to do hamshacha so that you can't pour it into, but it could flow along the ground. Or, that was the Rashi's approach, that was an issue of hamshacha. Or, the issue is that even pushing it over on its side is considered to be shlitas, it's the odam that is going to ruin it, because it's considered to be in the koyach of an Adam, and that itself is going to passel it. And that was his chumrah, whereas according to Rabbi Yoshua, there was no problem at all. You couldn't lift it up, because over there it's literally picking it up and turning it into mayim she'uvim, but you could push it over. You don't necessarily have to break it. But that was our first experience of this sugya. The next Mishnah that also is focused on the same issue, Mishnah Chet, is Hasayad Sheshachach Atzitz Babor. So remember, it was always the way that in order to make sure that you could store as much water as possible in a bor, you would waterproof it as much as you could. And that waterproofing was done with sid. So you would use lime, coat the walls of the bor with lime. In order to do that, you would call an expert. We see this today. They come along with these sort of rubber type of containers that contains the whitewash, which is lime. And, okay, nowadays they use paint almost all the time. But you still see this in the Arab quarter, that people walk around with the lime. And what happened over here is that you had this workman who does whitewashing, what's called a sayad, still today. And he forgot and left his container, which was sort of the bucket kind of thing, the atzitz, that was filled with lime. So when he finished working on the side of the bor, he just left it there. I mean, those things are not worth very much. He left it in the bor itself. Now, it is a container. And it ended up actually falling into the water, and the water got into the container of the atzitz. So now it depends. Im hayum, it filled up from the water that was in the bor, and at this point we don't have 40 saw in the bor proper, because a lot of it has moved into the container. Is the water in that container considered to be mayim she'uvim or not? So the din is, im hayu hamayim tzafim al gabav kolshu, if the water in the bar was over and above the edge of the atzitz that had been left in it, so then what he can do is, yishaber, he can't lift up the container and pour it out into the bar, but he can break it, and now the water in that container becomes kosher for the mikveh, and it's as if it was always in the bar. But if not, im lav, the water wasn't above it, then lo yishaber. Why? Because we have is a container that wasn't batel to the water in the bar, and it's true that you didn't have kavana to be shoev with that water, but nonetheless, since it was a container that had held a mixture of water and lime in order to whitewash the bar, that is a little bit too similar to an actual clean. And therefore, if it wasn't lying underneath the water level, you can't break it and have that water being kosher. Because once it was over and above the edge of the water in the bar, it's considered to be mayim she'uvim. And if it would have had shlosha lugin in it, then it would be shlosha lugin mayim that would have been she'uvim in a bar that was chaser and didn't have arbayim sa'ah. And therefore, it would destroy the whole mikvah forever. Divrei Rebbe Eliezer. So it means that he's being more machmir in this case than in the case we had in the previous mission. In the previous mission, we had the kankanim that were put up on the porch specifically to be dried out. But over here, we had things that were brought into the bar that contained liquid in them. And because of that, it would be too similar to real mayim she'uvim. And because of that, he doesn't have the kula that he was willing to take. Even Rebbe Eliezer was making legabe using the water inside of those containers on the bar and on the roof, and they certainly did not have water above the edge. But here he's makbid that it should be underneath the water level in the bar. So in other words, had this what container been on the roof to dry, then it wouldn't have been a problem to use that water as long as there was still water in the bar and it wasn't the first revius. But in this case, even though there is water in the bar, you cannot break the containers because they're considered to be almost real mayim she'uvim as if it was done liritzono. So he's machmer on it as if it's mayim she'uvim. Rabbi Yoshua says, no. Actually, Benkach doesn't matter what the level is that they're sticking out above the bore water or beneath the bore water. Fact is that it was not put in there in order to be Mayim Shuvim. And therefore, it is not Mayim Shuvim. And you can go ahead and break it, Yishaber, break it, and it doesn't make any difference. Now the question is Rabbi Yeshua exactly the same as the Mishnah that we just had before? Or is he being a little bit more machmer in the sense that before he said you could turn it over? He didn't say only Yishaber, remember? And here he says Yishaber. Now, I mean, you could say, and this is a machlokas, I don't understand the Mishnah. You could say that he means Dafka Yishaber. You can't turn it over. Or it could be more just a logistic question, in that since it's buried underneath, so he doesn't want you to turn it over because that consists of lifting to some extent. And lifting, for sure, is going to turn it into the equivalent of Mayim She'uvim. So that's a question. Some are mefarish that even Rabbi Yeshua is more machmir than he was in the first Mishnah and agrees that you have to break it. So Benkach Ubenkach Yishaver. Mishnah Tet in Perek Beit. I just forgot to record. Perek Beit, Mishnah Tet. How about if you are Mesader Kankanim, but this time you didn't put the Kankanim up on the roof to dry out? You took those kankanim and you put them into the bar, not so that the water would flow into them. You put their bottoms in the bark, but your intent was that they should actually absorb water, because that way, if they absorb water, it strengthens them, and it also makes it possible to use them afterwards for liquids without the liquids being very quickly absorbed into the sides of the kankanim. So they used to try to make sure that these were pre-soaked kankanim. So you were pre-soaking your kankanim, which meant that from the outside, they would be absorbing water in the bar. But it turned out that the water kept flowing into the bar, and they filled up, nitmalu mayim, they filled up, as the bar filled up, it went over the edge, and they filled up the kankanim, or it could be maybe they sunk a little bit under the ground, but whatever the case was, they ended up, not according to plan, they ended up getting the water into the actual container part, which is not what you had wanted. So over there, afal pi, shibala habor, et meimav. So even though in this case there was no water, the only water that you had was the water that ended up going into these kankanim, all the rest of the water ended up being absorbed into the bottom of the bar, so you didn't start with water in the bar at this point. Areze yishaber, you are allowed to break these kankanim, and the water that's in them can now be the supply of the mikveh kosher of water that is not considered to be she'uvim. So the pashtus, and this is the way some of the mafarshim understand it, but pashtus, this is only true according to Rabbi Yoshua. Because after all, according to Rabbi Yasser, you have to have that revius mayim in the bar, and over here it's saying, even if it was without any water in the bar. And the truth is, that's how the Rosh learns, and that's how the Rosh learns. There's some of the later mafarshim HaMishnah that tried to be Mechalik with it, and they claim that in this case, even Rabbi Eliezer would be made up, but we'll stick with the Rishonim, basically. So this gives us essentially three Mishnayos in a row that are discussing the question of what is considered to be Mayim She'uvim, of a case where in the end, water ends up in a container, and there are minor differences between the case. In the first case, which was Mishnah Zion, we were talking about where there was no intent to be Mamale, the Mayim outside. And according to Rabbi Yoshua, there's no din of Mayim She'uvim at all. You don't have to break them. You can even simply tip them over, and the water can be poured directly into the bar, and it is kosher, even if it is Kulay Mayim She'uvim, so to speak, because it's in a container, because he doesn't consider it to be Mayim She'uvim at all. That is the way that we paskin, and that was the first Mishnah, Aliba the Rabbi Yeshua, not Aliba the Rabbi Eliezer, but we'll talk about the Psak over here. The second Mishnah was talking about the Sayad, and that's where the container had been brought into the bar originally as an actual container of things, liquids that it was holding. So over there, it's more similar to being Mayim She'uvim. And because of that, we are makbid more in two ways. First of all, you need to break them, and you can't just turn them over. That was the one difference. And the other difference was that there needs to be a little bit of water in the bar in that case. And the third case was, where over here, you did not want to get water into the containers, but you had been misadded the containers. Therefore, we consider it to be the same as putting the containers up on the roof, but that's only in terms of not needing water in the bar. So as it says, even if all the water disappeared, it would still be okay. However, there is still a chumrah in this case. The chumrah is that you need to break it and you can't turn it. So it means we have three different dargas of chumrah, of how it is that we view something that is similar to actual she'iva. In one, you have to break. In the other, you can be kofet. And in one, you have to make sure that there's a little bit of water, even aliba d'Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, so this is the way it's actually brought in terms of Psak Halacha the three different Mishnayos that we've had. They're brought together as a halacha of extending the chumrah of similarity to Mayim Shu'uvim. Okay, Rabbosai, wonderful. That will allow us to start a new issue tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem. See you all. Have a wonderful day. B'sirot Tovot, and look forward to being zochah to be with you.